VanWe Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It is Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWe Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWe.
And I'm Adam VanWe.
And we are here, as always, live and in person, colorful, and all that, raring to go. Another thrill-packed hour of local color, financial news, more importantly, your questions. We've got a lot to talk about today, but as always, since we are a live show, if you want to control the editorial content, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. And callers, as always, get moved directly to the front of the line. As you know, not all financial radio shows are created equal. Most of them are pre-recorded. You get to hear one thing and one thing only, and that's whatever the host wants you to hear. We're not like that. We will be more than happy to discuss any topic that's on your mind, take any comments or whatever. We will have a trivia question brought to you, as always, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888, and he will probably pick up the phone himself. Service is everything, of course. We had another interesting week, and there's a lot to talk about. I'm going to let Adam bring us all up to date and see what it really means, because it sure ended with a big old holy cow.
Yeah, it sure did.
Was it worth it? That's my question.
It looked like it was going to be a really boring week.
For 4 days.
The market traded in a really tight range during from Monday to Thursday, and then the jobs report came out on Friday morning, and the market shot up like a rocket, ended up
yes,
almost 200 points. And the jobs report, I don't even know where
here
to
we
start
go.
With this.
Start on Wednesday with ADP.
Yeah, that one came in at about 177,000, I think.
179, I think.
179. And so that seems pretty right on.
Yeah.
So then Friday we get the non-farm payrolls report. And the expectation was that it would come in about 180,000, pretty close to the other report. But no, it came in at 255,000. Well,
I'm choking back laughter.
2 months ago, that same report came in at 38,000.
So, but last month it was really good.
Right. Last month was even
higher.
Now,
let's see,
what
happened in between last month and this month? Would it be the Democrat National Convention?
I mean, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, I don't think that the entire economy of the United States stopped in May and then suddenly took off like a rocket in June and July.
Well, it's just waiting for something.
It makes no sense. I mean, it just looks
makes a lot of
so
sense
much
if you're
like
a conspiracy
manipulation.
Theorist.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so the market went up based on that news, and I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. It's just,
tell you exactly what I think, for what it's worth. You know me, I have an occasional opinion about things. I don't believe a word this government says statistically. One word.
I agree with that. You saw the participation rate increased as well.
So. 420,000 people went back to looking for work. They did.
Maybe.
But I have a low confidence level of all numbers produced by this government between now and November 8th.
Yeah, that's fair. I think once we get to December, we'll see what the real story is.
Manipulated like the price of silver, in my opinion.
So in all the markets this week, the NASDAQ continued to play catch up with the Dow and the S&P, gaining 1.1%, while the S&P gained the least at 0.4%, and the Dow settled in the middle at 0.6%.
See, that's not government information, and I do trust it. And the reason I trust it is the earnings reports in the tech sector have been fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. And the NASDAQ had been really lagging.
Right.
So now for the year, the Dow and the S&P are up over 6%, and the NASDAQ is sitting about 2 percentage points lower at 4.3%, but all positive, which is, you know, actually those numbers are better than what most people thought they would be for the entire year, and they could still come back down. That's a very real possibility. Mm-hmm. But at this point in the year, things are looking pretty good. So, yeah, that spread with the NASDAQ was more like 6%, I think, a few months ago, lower than the S&P and the Dow. And
well, that was when Apple was taking its bath, and they've had a nice little recovery.
Yeah, they were up over 105, 106 on Friday. So,
and with the weighted indices, Apple really packs a lot of punch in those numbers.
It does. So for this quarter, the NASDAQ is up over 7.5% already, which is pretty solid performance. Commodities had an interesting week. Oil inventories unexpectedly climbed during the week when they traditionally decline at this point in the year because it's the summer driving season and there's a lot of usage in gasoline. So typically you see oil inventories go down, but they're now creeping up for 2 weeks in a row.
But there's a but.
Hold on, I'll get to that.
Okay.
That puts them at 52% above their normal levels for this time of year. That's quite a big number. It's 2 weeks in a row that we saw the inventories climb, and it's definitely being reflected in oil prices, which dipped briefly below $40 this week for the first time since April. At the same time, we saw a big drawdown in gasoline inventories with worldwide consumption nearing all-time highs. So there's kind of two sides to this story. So with all that, I think what we're seeing right now is just a pause in the energy sector. I'm using it as a buying opportunity, and I expect some more upside somewhere down the road.
I concur.
The metals didn't have a great week either, with gold losing about 1%, although it was up midweek, and then silver losing more than 4%, and most of those declines came on Friday, which kind of makes sense as all the money was piling into equities instead of into commodities.
Well, a week ago, we reported that silver was up 35% for the year and gold up 25%. It's a natural little pullback. I still say that the trend is up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's a lot of more economic data this week, and it was all pretty mixed. The jobs data was all positive, as we mentioned earlier. And the other good news came in the form of increases in personal income and spending, auto sales, factory orders, and even the ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing reports, while they both missed, were still positive and signaling growth in both of those sectors. So overall, it's a pretty good sign that people are going back to work and then going out and spending more money. And I still don't believe the jobs report, but everything seems to be on the right track, is how I would sum it up.
Yeah. If you believe enough stuff.
Yeah. I mean, even anecdotally, though, you look around and people are out spending money. The stores are crowded. Restaurants are crowded. People are working. I don't know anyone who is looking for work who can't find a job.
And
now,
yet.
Might not be the job, but.
Yep. And yet the doomsayers are all over the place. They're trying to scare everybody out of their wits or out of the market or whatever. I'm not really quite sure which. I cannot find a reason to believe them. I just can't. I think things are at worst just kind of holding on. I don't see any possibility that between now and November 8th, anything could happen except the biggest unexpected possibility, you know, a terrorist attack or something like that. We live with that 365. But I just don't see anything changing dramatically. I don't see any reason that we ought to be shorting this market or running for the hills. But as we've been reminding you for a month, it's an excellent opportunity to do some profit taking and rebalancing within your portfolio. And Adam and I have been doing that quite a lot as we meet with clients here in the last few days. And it feels kind of good. And we notice the results of it afterwards are getting people kind of right back where they want to be. We had a very interesting question come up in the office this week. I did a little sampling to try to answer it, and I'm going to talk about that afterwards. But first, Morgan Stanley Capital has a series of market indices that they produce for people, and we thank them for that because they don't charge for them. The World Index ranks all the stock markets around the civilized world, the developed world. We're over half of it, just in the U.S. That's how big we are. I want to know how many other countries even contribute 3%. So it's just a number, and you can call us right after the break. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And our trivia question is still out there. The Morgan Stanley World Index ranks all of the stock markets around the developed world. We are quite a little bit over 50% of the value all by ourselves here in the U.S. How many other countries contribute at least 3% to that index? And it's a number. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Let's not get it away.
The only way we can get a bracket on this, folks, is if you call 222-8255. But we were asked a question this week that we can never answer. It says, well, what has your performance been this year? Well, you can advertise a performance if you can prove that it's your performance. The performance we have is by individual client because our clients are all individuals. We do not have any cookie cutters. We are fee only. And we are very, very personal in our business. So I just was kind of thinking about that afterwards. So I sampled a bunch of our clients this morning randomly. And they all coming in about 6.5 to 9.5 year to date. And I looked at the market indices, and the highest one is the S&P at 6.8. So Adam and I were talking about that and wondering why. And if you remember last week, we were talking about the year before where a diversified portfolio got hurt because it was only the big four stocks that created the rise in the market indices last year. And that was an anomaly. A modern portfolio theory, diversification, all that still works great. This year, we're making up for it. The better diversified our portfolios, the better off they all are. So it what it served to do was to prove our point that we have been mentioning over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and if you look at all the asset classes for the last 3 years, only one or two asset classes have outperformed the S&P over the last 3 years. So last year it was two, and the year before that, and in 2014 and 2013, it was just one asset class that did better than
the S&P. I have a feeling when you update that chart at the end of this year, it's going to be a whole different story. Paulette, good morning.
I have to turn this down.
Yep.
There we go.
Echo.
I'm guessing eight.
You are very close, but you are too high.
I'm too high.
Yes.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you. That gives us a bracket, 0 to 8.
Yep.
That when you get the first caller in with a really good guess, it makes it easier for everybody else. And again, that will be for a Publix gift card from First Coast Alarm. All right. Gosh, I hardly know what order to take things in today. There is so much going on. But first off, why don't you tell the folks a little about us, and then I'll toot my horn for a minute.
Okay, sounds good. We are, as my dad mentioned, we are fee-only financial planners located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off the Butler, the Marsh Landing Parkway exit from Butler Boulevard, so it's very easy to get to from all areas of town. If you ever want to reach us outside of this radio show, we're at 904-685-1505. Or you can find us online at www.vanwiefinancial.com. If you need to know how to spell Van Wee, it's V-A-N-W-I-E, or Victor, Alpha, November, Whiskey, India, Echo. On our website, we do a lot of different things. One of them is a blog. We post at least twice a week and talk about all sorts of things financial that will relate to you and hopefully be of interest to you. So come back and check out the website frequently, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Van Wee Financial. Or Twitter at Van Wee Financial.
Cool. Good morning, Cheryl.
Greetings.
How are you today?
Fine.
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm guessing seven.
You're very close, but you're too high.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thanks. Wow, they're good today.
Yep.
All right. We got a random email a month or so ago, and someone had caught, the reason I wanted to have Adam bring all that up was somebody caught something that we'd written on the blog and sent me an inquiry, and would I like to answer some questions. And I said, sure. And I don't know how many of you have been to a website called stretcher.com, S-T-R-E-T-C-H-E-R. The full name of it, which is not how you get there, but the full name of the site is Dollar Stretcher. And it's a website devoted to making your dollar go further, which we all can use all the time. So this particular inquiry had to do with diversifying IRAs. So I spent a couple weeks back and forth with them, and this morning they posted it. Now, before I go any further than that, the phones are ringing again. Eric, good morning.
Good morning. I'm guessing five.
Nice guess, but you ready for this?
Keep right.
You're too low.
Oh, right.
We appreciate it,
can
though.
Can I guess again?
No. Sorry. One for customer. Now the phone's ringing again, and I'll bet I'm clairvoyant. Chris. I'll bet the next caller gets it. So before I get... Oh, we got it already. Dan, good morning.
Hey there.
Oh, do I have them in the wrong order? Who have I got?
Ann.
Just a second. We want to get them in the right order. All right, Greg, sorry. The call's coming in thick and fast. We want to make sure we get the right one.
Greg, are you there?
Hey, turn off your radio if you would.
Okay. I don't think he's there.
Try again. You can't, folks, when you call a show like this, you have to turn your radio off because of the delay. That's what all that feedback's about. Greg.
Yes, sir. I turned it off. Sorry about that.
Thank you. No problem at all. Thank you.
I'm going to take a guess.
Okay.
Could it be?
Now, I'm sitting down, so I won't be too shocked if you get it right.
Six?
Yes!
He did it.
He did it. Absolutely.
Boy, I was an accounting major in college. You would have never guessed.
I don't know what triggered this, but we're
watching.
Well, it
was only on, I counted on one hand, so I had to go to the second hand, but that's okay. Yeah. I had my coffee today, so it worked.
Good. A couple weeks ago, we were watching the show America's Got Talent. The guy came on, he was an actuary. So one of the people asked him, well, what does an actuary do? And he says, well, we're like accountants without the personality. You sound like an exception.
What personality do accountants have?
Well, exactly. I've always had good ones. That's how I interview them. If they're no fun, to heck with them.
You have to have a sense of humor, especially if you're dealing with a tax code.
No kidding. You have to. All right, we'll put you on hold. Do you have any questions on investing or anything, by the way?
No, not today.
Okay, we'll put you on hold and get your address, and we'll send you out a card. Just out of my curiosity, if not yours, those countries, the other six for which you win after us, are Japan, United Kingdom, Switzerland, Canada, France, and Germany in that order. I was really surprised that France is more valuable than Germany. Just kind of hit me. I was like learning things just like everybody else. So if you don't mind, I'll put you on hold right now and we'll take care of it. Thanks for calling.
And to everyone else who called, thanks for trying, but we'd have to take them in the order they're received. But we will have another contest next week.
We absolutely will.
Go ahead and call us then.
Okay. All right. I thought the way we do this, the people at Stretcher asked me a series of questions, which I responded. So I thought I'd just go ahead and let Adam ask those same questions, and I'll kind of summarize what I said about it, because there's some things to learn about the nature of diversifying your IRA. Let me give you a little lead in here. Their premise was Cynthia's confused where to invest her IRA. She doesn't know that much about investing, and she's not sure who can give her good, sound advice. Since investment choices are vitally important to IRA performance, we wanted to find out how diversification can impact an IRA. To help us navigate the options and questions you might have about diversifying your IRA portfolio, we reached out to Steve Van Wee, CFP and owner of Van Wee Financial in Jacksonville Beach. First question.
Yeah, so at what age should one begin to consider diversifying an IRA portfolio beyond typical offerings like stocks or mutual funds?
There are seven classes of assets that include cash and equivalents, domestic stocks, domestic bonds, foreign bonds, real estate, and hedges. Hedges are things like commodities. They all have their place in virtually any portfolio of any significant size. That said, the real estate category within an IRA only makes sense to me personally using a real estate investment trust, or REIT. REITs come in three major classes: the mortgage type, handle the financing of real estate, the equity REITs own the properties, and the hybrid REITs can do either. I personally prefer equity REITs. I feel they represent real estate rather than representing the financial sector. A good financial planner will analyze the investment needs of the potential client, as well as long-term goals and risk tolerance. The portfolio should be designed from scratch immediately to serve the best interests of the client and the client's profile. There's no optimal time to start diversifying except the day you invest your first dollar. That's when you start thinking about the diversification.
And you can do that in a number of ways. You can do that by buying different assets, or there are funds or ETFs that cover a wide variety of things. And so you can put $1 into that, mm-hmm. and you're automatically diversified. Balance, so there's a number
funds,
of ways to do
target
it.
Target rate funds, that kind of thing. They're made for the small investor to start diversifying, and only when you get bigger then you need to take it a little further. We're going to run out of time here, but we'll ask the next question. We'll pick it up after the break if we don't make it.
Okay. Are there optimum market times when diversifying in an IRA with real estate might be a good option?
All right. This is one of the key answers. Real estate is one of the seven most volatile investment classes. Now, you might remember that there were seven investment classes. My point is that every one of them is risky, and that includes cash. If you're sitting there on a wad of cash for a long time, and the market during that time has had a year like this where it goes up, you have experienced financial risk or variability by having an opportunity cost whereby your money didn't grow. And we're going to pick up on that answer and the other three questions right after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And for those of you who are new to the show, and I know there are all kinds of you, that background music is Money by Pink Floyd. I just love that little rhythm, kind of puts you in the pensive mood, ready for fantastic new information. We have a new trivia question. The prize for this one, since we already gave out the First Coast Alarm Prize, the winner of this next question will get to listen to next week's show absolutely free.
That is quite a prize.
It is really something. Out of every 10,000 bills in our circulation in this country, how many of them are counterfeit? Not what percent, but how many bills out of every 10,000 are counterfeit? Like I said, get to listen to the show free. Gosh, what a deal.
I know. You're so generous.
All right. The second question from the website that I point you to right after we do this was, are there optimum market times when diversifying with real estate might be a good option? My response, there are seven volatile asset classes, and we would all like to buy them all low, and we would like to sell them all high. But nobody can tell you what is low and what is high. Therefore, the time to diversify is today or tomorrow if you're waiting for your money to clear. Third question.
And what about when it may not be such a good option? Are there signs that investors can watch for to determine when it might not be a good fit?
My response was that real estate, like any other asset class, should be designed before it is bought. The percentage in the portfolio should be a predetermined design based on expected portfolio return, which is called yield in our business, and risk, which is variability in our business, measured by standard deviations. There is no one clue or sign that real estate is either good or bad for an investor, or it's a good time or bad time to buy. You really don't know what the top and the bottom are going to be. So the answer is, if it fits into your design, buy it.
Yeah, it's like anything else. It's a lot easier to call it in hindsight.
Exactly.
2007, probably not a good time to buy real estate.
And yet a lot of people did it.
Yeah, actually probably more than at any other time in our history.
Yeah, and probably in the early to mid 2009, a lot of people wouldn't buy it because all it ever does is go down. If people have about a right. year memory, well, it would have been the best time ever. You can't know, folks. Don't try.
So are there other options for diversifying an IRA portfolio beyond real estate offerings?
Out of those seven asset classes, there are many, many ways. Now, commodities we've been talking about lately are particularly interesting at certain times. And those certain times, this sounds funny, are times of great uncertainty. I believe that right now qualifies very well for times of great uncertainty, not just what's going on in the presidential election, but what's going on around the world with things like terrorism, the Brexit. Every day and every way, there are things going on. There's always uncertainty. If you believe there's enough of it that people are going to be flocking to safety, then check out some commodities. Now, the good thing about them is that they have kind of a long price cycle. They go up for a long time, then they go down for a long time. At least that's a tendency over time. See where you are in the chart and consider if you want them. But if you do, design it into your portfolio with a very small percentage, because they are risky with a capital R.
Okay. Regarding the diversification in an IRA portfolio, are there issues that can come up that people tend to forget to consider, and what are those?
Yes, there are a lot of them. It is a fundamentally simple concept, but when you put it into use, it's not that easy. The reason you diversify is to reduce risk. The risk factor in a portfolio, too many people misunderstand. Risk can mean many things depending on your context. For instance, if you're selling an insurance policy, you could be talking about the risk of poor health or risk of death or something like that. But when you're talking to us in our investment advisor roles, risk means variability of returns. Now, the thing that people don't remember is that downside risk and upside risk are directly correlated. They are actually inseparable. So if you are scared to death of your account value dropping, you are making a promise to yourself that you're also scared to death of it going up, because you can't have one without the other. And that's very, very often misunderstood. If you're willing to do something like precious metals that have a very big upside, you must understand that it's a very, very big downside also. There are things that should and shouldn't be done in IRAs. I believe precious metals do belong in IRAs because they carry a separate tax rate. I'll go into that at great length in a different segment. But I also believe that having real estate in your IRA, if it's not in the form of a REIT, is very, very dangerous. I've done that many times. I've written on it. You can look on our blog and see it. Owning physical real estate in an IRA is just fraught with possibilities for things to go very, very poorly, including a topic called self-dealing. You don't want to get caught in that stuff because the penalties are fantastically large. And I will talk about that at length one of these first days. Now, again, this website is stretcher.com. There's a money section on the front page this morning, and that money section refers to what you need to know about diversifying your IRA, and that's me.
Yep. I will be putting this article up on our website later today, as well as posting it on our Twitter and our Facebook account. So if you want to find it, that's one easy way to do it, or like you mentioned, just go to stretcher.com.
Okay. You want to take over for a little bit?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about just a really good guy that I found an article about. The title of this article is Broker Squeezes $243,000 Out of an Elderly Blind Widow. So just a really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
This guy defrauded a 77-year-old by churning her accounts and collecting more than $243,000 in commissions. The fraud also cost the elderly victim about $184,000 in net losses, according to a complaint filed by the regulator. His name, Hank Mark Werner of Northport, New York, who was registered with Legend Securities and Liberty Partners while acting as the client's broker. So, again, be careful out there. This guy, I don't know if you don't know what churning is, it basically is excessive trading. And unlike us, some brokers actually collect commissions off of those trades. And so he was able to do that to the tune of almost $250,000.
Those of you who have known me a long time, either through the radio or personally, know that I hate people like that with a passion. The ones who do it to the elderly and the poor, I hate with more than just one passion.
Yeah, I second that. There's just no worse form of scum than people that prey on the elderly and those of us that are less fortunate.
I scan a lot of internet sites every week, partly to do my job, partly because I'm interested, partly because I want to find things that are of interest that can hopefully help people on the radio show. Here's one I came up with this week. It just jacks my jaws. Double Lines Jeffrey Gundlach says, quote, sell everything. Sell the house, sell the car, sell the kids. That's how I feel. Sell everything. Nothing here looks good. People, when people act like this and get quoted on financial websites, this one happened to be Yahoo Finance, no good can come of this. Absolutely none. If you do things like that because some jerk tells you to, I promise you, you are going to trade your way out of ever making money in this market. He reiterates that gold and gold miners are the best alternatives to treasuries and predicted gold prices will reach $1,400. Well, whoopee-doo, do you think he sells it? I kind of wonder. I didn't even look. I'll bet he does. And you see these things all the time. Please learn to ignore them. Howard and Angela were talking on the way in this morning. I was listening to them about a guy that he basically stole $7 million from 50 investors on a Ponzi scheme. And he was advertising quick outsized returns, 30 to 90 day returns with big money in collateralized mortgage obligations. Point number one, if you can't define a collateralized mortgage obligation, don't put it in your portfolio. Point number two, mortgages return a very small amount of money and they return it over a very long period of time. 30 to 90 day returns in mortgage obligations is an oxymoron. Three, when he shows you that he's already paid out $1.5 million to other investors, ask him where the money came from. Did it come from the last people who got in it? You will lose your money when you deal like that. They did a very good job of covering this, right down to our favorite expression, if it sounds too good to be true, finish it up, folks, because it is. All right, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to talk about some other fun things right after the break. Don't go away. You're listening to the Banwe Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banwe Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banwe.
And I'm Adam Banwe.
And we still have our trivia question out there. Out of every 10,000 bills in circulation in this country, how many of them are counterfeit? And the winner does get to hear all of next week's show for absolutely free. What a deal. You can't turn it down. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Now, with the recent rain we've had, they were busy before. He's real going to be busy, and you don't want to have to do it. So give Troy a call at 662-9794. All right. We're talking about shysters and scams and so on, and I've got a dandy here. These are the things that drive an honest financial advisor absolutely crazy. It's been about 10 years now that we've had virtual zero interest rates. It's so hard to make money on cash, and it's been punishing old people for a long, long time. Now, the Fed has been delaying and delaying and delaying, letting interest rates rise up to any kind of a reasonable level, which just continues to make it harder and harder to make money. And what it winds up doing is it causes people to take too much risk in their portfolio. They would rather not, but that's the only way they're going to get any return. So as I put it, here's the score. Borrowers, 1. Savers, 0. There is no reward for savers right now. It probably helps our business. That's an incidental and certainly no reason why we would want to continue this. Adam and I have been discussing for months and months on the show our desire to have interest rates come back up, where if you're going to save money, you get at least a little bit of reward for it. Well, nature abhors a vacuum, as they say. So there is a void out there in income-producing assets for people. Where there's a void, guess what? Somebody's going to come in and fill it. Each one has a new twist. Their advertising can be very clever. Their names can be very clever. Most of the content is junk at best and fraudulent at worst. I'm going to call this one both. And I'm not afraid to name names. Here's the questioning that you would go through. The product is called the Super 7 Annuity. Wow. Super 7. That's even better than Super 6, I guess.
Initially that kind of frightens me, because anything saying Super 7 reminds me of Vegas. And what happens in Vegas? You're gambling.
Yeah, but that stays in Vegas.
Also true.
Well, here's the pitch that you would be likely to get. Would you like an endless income plan? Do you know that bond yields are very low? Interest rates are low? Are you aware that many stock dividends are being cut? Stocks are relatively expensive right now, very dangerous. Are you aware that many financial advisors are predicting a market crash? Do you know that the average annuity pays only 3% interest per year? Are you aware that taxes and inflation will eat into your annuity payments? Well, so far, so good, right? what do we need when we get a little older and want to retire? We need a lifetime annuity. All right, let's carry on. Would you like to earn three times more than the average annuity payout? Would you like to avoid all the paperwork that insurance companies demand? How would you like to have penalty-free access to your money at all times, unlike annuities that tie it up for a long time? What if the income and the investment were available to your heirs upon your death? Wouldn't that be great? Would you like to receive 8 to 10% annual income? Would you like that income stream to be guaranteed? This annuity has a history of paying out 2 or 3 extra payments a year. So instead of 12, you're likely to get 14 or 15 payments a year. Your lifestyle could improve in many ways, and I've got beautiful pictures to prove it with happy people in beautiful settings, living la vida loca, as Ricky Martin would say. And it's all due to the Super 7 annuity. Now, how credible are we? Many huge financial firms have stakes in this Super 7 annuity. No less than 18 funds recently bought into the system, including MetLife, which sells around $5.7 billion of their own annuities every year. And yet they're investing in the Super 7. The management team owns over 2.8 million shares of the Super 7 annuity. Wow, this must be good, right? How could you not be interested? It sounds too good to be true, right? There's that pesky slogan again, that too good to be true thing. So let's have a look at the Super 7 annuity offered by Roger Mikulski of Eagle Financial. Mr. Mikulski is VP and Group Publisher, Financial Publications Division, and has a degree in marketing from Radford University. Be thinking about how many dog whistles you just heard out of all that pitch, including a too high payout owning shares and an annuity. You don't own shares in an annuity, you own the annuity. Big companies buying in when they are actually in the annuity business. If there were better annuities, wouldn't they have one?
You would think that they would go out and create their own.
MetLife isn't a bunch of dummies. Annuity companies owning shares, extra payouts from the annuity, all these folks are oxymorons.
Extra payouts.
Extra payouts on an annuity.
We're feeling generous. Yeah. Take some more money. No big deal.
All right. Apologies to Paul Harvey. Here's the rest of the story. This is not an annuity, nor is it any other insurance product, despite the name he gives it, including the word, quote, annuity. His ad says that annuities are popular because they're guaranteed, and he calls his product an annuity, but he is very, very careful not to say his product is guaranteed. Ipso facto, it's not guaranteed. And he's very careful to imply it and just as careful not to say it. This so-called annuity is really a stock that pays dividends. Stock prices, including this one, rise and fall with the market and other factors. Dividends on the stock are declared by the board of directors and can be changed, suspended, and or stopped at their discretion. So I went and looked up the term annuity in the dictionary. There is no definition of annuity that this product could possibly fit because all definitions include a fixed or lifetime longevity of the payment stream, and this one can be stopped with one vote of the board of directors. It is absolutely fraudulent to use the word annuity in this so-called product. So what is the product? What is the stock? His scheme is to purchase a stock with the symbol MAIN. Main is a business development company, or BDC. BDCs are like REITs where they avoid federal taxation by flowing through their dividend stream. The market price over the last 12 months of Main has varied from $24.21 to $33.95, a variation of over 40%. Now, how many of you who are seeking a lifetime income are going to be real comfortable with a stock that in a single year has already varied over 40%? And it's high right now, by the way. In fact, the yield right now is 6.5. The only way his 8 to 10 can hold up is if they pay at least 2 extra payments, and those are subject to the board of directors. They're not guaranteed. There are no guaranteed payments on this thing. Variability, as I referred to it earlier, is called risk. This stock varies a lot, i.e., it's risky. To be totally fair, let's look at what claims he makes that are more or less true. Main has performed well against many other business development corporations. It does pay monthly dividends. The yield is certainly better than current annuity interest rates. It has loaned money to a variety of companies, so their Maine's portfolio is somewhat diversified, and it does frequently pay extra dividends. That's all well and good. This positive information then begs the question, why does he think he has to package it as an annuity? I think the answer is probably very simple and very deceptive. The implication of the term annuity is that there is a guarantee backed by a major financial institution. This is false. It is misleading. It is deceptive. And if they were regulated the way Vanway Financial is regulated, they would be either out of business and not in jail or out of business and in jail, one or the other. Since they're not regulated, then in my opinion, the best word I can apply to it is immoral. Many times you've heard us say that there are three rules of investing, similar to what the real estate people would say. The first three rules are location, location, and location. Our first three rules are diversification, diversification, and diversification. Owning one stock, even though itself may be somewhat diversified, is nowhere near creating a diversified portfolio. Anytime somebody says, I'm thinking of putting it all into, stop them right there. There is no good answer. So now I ask you to ask yourself, if you know now what the Super 7 annuity is, would you buy it? Would you trust anyone who uses deceptive advertising to sell the product? Is there a better way to achieve portfolio yield, even if it costs you a little bit of yield to get a lot better safety and diversification? Don't be sucked in to these sales pitches. When in doubt, call us on the show or call us at the office at 685-1505. Tell us what you're looking at and we'll tell you if it's a good idea or not.
What was the answer to that second trivia question?
Three bills out of every 10,000 are counterfeit. 75% of counterfeit money never hits the market. It's called out first. Well, sorry we got to go. We'll see you next week at 10. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.